Regretsville is brought to you by the Forever Dog Podcast Network.
Find us and more original comedy podcasts at foreverdogpodcast.com.
And great news, because now Regretsville is on Spotify.
Oh my
God. You have no excuse. The excuse is gone now, my friend.
110. Spotify is at your fingertips.
Yeah, maybe. Really.
You can listen to all episodes of Regretsville there, as well as on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and SoundCloud.
And if that's not enough and you're going, but I miss them, what about the other 6 days? Guess what? We also have a Twitter. Tweet at us. Follow us at Regretsville Pod. And you know what? We might just tweet back at you.
Oh my God. I mean, tell us your regrets. We're obviously like are really apt to like handling
that. We can handle that. I mean, you know that we've got how many characters? 140. I mean, there's only so much we can say on Twitter, but we will do our best.
On Twitter. Yeah. So follow us. Welcome to Regretsville. I'm Tracy Soren.
And I'm Jesse Jollis. Together we're Soren and Jollis. And you might be walking down the street with a cup of water in one hand and the lid in the other. And the question is, why isn't the lid on the cup? No one knows. But you look back and you go, I got regrets.
You know what? Because a skateboard might be coming towards you. You never know when a skateboard.
Or a rollerblader.
Or a rollerblader.
Not enough rollerbladers.
I hear there.
That's a hot take. But that is not a enough. Hot take. Not I enough. Think.
That's not enough. That's what you know.
So.
So one day you're gonna switch from street to boat or something,
wow.
And I'm gonna be like, "Is this a new day? Are we starting
It'll
a new
be
day?"
A new day.
Okay, so we have a great guest as usual. You know, three's a crowd here. Actually, no, three's a wonderful crowd.
three's company.
That's what I meant. Thank you. Now three's a crowd. We have a wonderful guest, Chelsea Dallas Filato. Hello.
Oh, hi, ladies.
She is. I mean, she's. We know her from obviously doing stuff at UCB, but she does a lot of videos, a lot of fun little internet videos. She has a lot of. She's done short films. She's done web series. So you could check out her stuff. She's been putting out a sketch a month by herself that she shoots and she edits. She does the whole thing. Check it out. It's crazy, right?
It is crazy.
She does everything. She shoots it herself. She edits everything. You can check it out at ChelseaDallasFilato.com or on Facebook. Chelsea Dallas Filato, welcome.
Thank you. When you said the skateboard thing, all I could picture is just a rogue skateboard just going down the street. Nobody on it. It's just going down the street. And it's just like, where did it come from?
Andy Dwyer. Yeah. Sorry, I just watched an episode of Parks and Recs where he threw a skateboard down the street. There you go. You know how we start this.
Well, you know how we do it. And if you don't, now you do, because we do Regret of the Week, baby.
We do it here.
We do it live.
Live.
We're going to do it live.
It's live for us.
Yeah, it's live for us. So would you like to start?
I'll start.
Go for it.
You know, just this morning when I was getting out of bed and I was organizing myself, and by organizing I mean literally sitting in my own filth and being like, what the hell is wrong with you, Jesse? I'm a disgusting human. And I was going to my laundry basket, as one does, to remove clothes on said body to put on fresh new clothes on my body. And I have three bags full of clothes that have been sitting there to go to, Buffalo Exchange for them to tell me that this is shit and they don't want it, but they'll donate it for me. And I'll be like, okay, this is quality stuff, but I understand that it is all shit. But I can't, why is it still in my freaking room?
Because people are innately lazy and it's hard to do that kind of stuff.
It's so hard.
It's so hard.
In your head, you're like, I want to be good.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm good. And then you're like, but I got to lug it.
Yeah.
I know.
And we don't have cars. So what are you going to do? Are you going to take a cart?
Three bags is a lot.
That's like three trips.
Well, I refuse to do three trips. I'm going to hurt my arms is what I'm going to do. But it's like literally my coats, I have to lean. I'm like leaning over these bags to like barely get my coat.
How long have you had the bags?
A good, you know, like 6 to 8 weeks. I can't remember.
If
you said six months, I would have been like, okay.
Because I've seen that. I mean, that's been done.
But my thing is like once it hits 2 or 3 months, I'll lose my mind and throw it away.
I've done that before.
Although
I've literally just thrown away a bag of clothes because I'm just too lazy to take it to the farmer's market two blocks away from my apartment to donate it.
I feel like you're on a good road, though. Like, when you leave stuff out, people scavenge. You know what I mean? You're not on a side block where you're getting no. I mean, it's better to donate.
I would prefer to do it.
There's got to be something closer to you.
I don't think there
is. I mean, well, I get it because you're trying to go to Buffalo Exchange to try and see if you can maybe get some money.
Right. But, yeah. But no, you will not.
Are there any like farmers markets?
No, it's no. There's only one by Sunny's. We both live in Astoria to our listeners.
I gave away their location. Come on by, but like leave them be.
Yeah, like you know where we live. I feel that I get this though.
It's just I just look at it every day and I go, what is happening?
And it doesn't make you feel good because you're looking at it and it's like it's a visual reminder of your laziness.
Because you felt good when you were doing
that's
it.
That's the problem.
So you like negated it. You were like, I'm cleaning out my closet. Yeah. I'm getting rid of this stuff. I'm minimizing, Marie Kondoing, and then it sits there.
Yeah.
And then it sits there. And then everything in my room has just slowly turmoiled.
Yeah. And you just had a friend over like a month ago to clean.
What happened?
Oh, God. You know,
I'd say you should like... make like put it on. Do you do to-do lists?
Do I do to-do lists? I have a to-do list for a to-do list. I have so many to-do lists.
So put it on there.
Yeah.
Like, do you have it on a to-do list to take it?
No.
Well, then put it on there.
I would say even put it on your calendar.
Yeah.
I'd go one step forward and put it on the Google Cal.
Or do both.
Or do both.
So like
amp it up.
Just like really make yourself feel terrible when you get that notification and see it on the list.
Then what I do is I keep moving it. Like, next thing I know, it's like I had this one reminder to edit this video. And at one point, I was just like, who is this person? Like, and it was like, oh, that thing that I keep not doing. Great.
Oh, man. I because it's like, oh, it's just not today. And then, that Google Cal is easy to remove. It's when you write it down where you can't remove it. Gotta do it in pen, baby. Gotta do it in pen.
Gotta do it in pen.
I get that, though. I really do get that. I feel that struggle.
Thank you.
I have like a mirror that my parents didn't want when they brought my dresser in that's been sitting there that I have to give away and it's been killing me. Because I don't want to, it's just on the floor. Like, what am I even doing?
I feel like that's definitely something you could put on the street with like a little sign on it that says free take and someone will take it.
That's what they do in Brooklyn.
Yeah, just free take.
They do a free take sign.
Dude, they put the weirdest stuff.
Brooklyn, every time I walk into Brooklyn.
There's shoes. Do you see shoes
all the time?
There's always shoes on the stoops.
In Park Slope or Prospect, it's just people leave their stuff everywhere. That's where I got that bag of clothes. Remember when I went to?
Yeah,
Julianne's party, or if I've ever visited my friend Dina, it's always there's stuff out.
There's always
the time.
I've done it and it's gone the next day.
Yeah,
so it's like people just walk
in
the
Astoria,
streets
it's
of
not
Brooklyn.
Really.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not that the culture is not that way.
I don't know if
much.
The culture is a take culture.
Yes,
but I will say that you did I completely lose it? Did I lose the entire train of thought? Is it all gone? Did I just lose everything?
I don't know where you were going.
It's
going
to bounce
back.
It'll bounce back.
It was about the mirror. Yeah. That's what it was. Oh. The mirror on the floor makes me, when you said that, I had anxiety through my body.
It's
that's
real.
7 years bad luck. You trip in the middle of the night and you are.
It's also, I think what I'm having trouble is it's my mirror from my childhood home. I have like a sentimental attachment and I'm just like, it's a fucking.
It's a mirror.
Is it on the floor?
It's you. Do you remember you've been? I think I don't know if you've ever been in my childhood bedroom, but you used to. You know, I had that
on the dresser.
The dresser. It's a detachable mirror with
like
two
the
drawers.
Thing.
Yeah, it's vanity.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is so exciting, guys. But I wanted to donate it.
Let's
I wanted
get,
it to go to like a good,
out.
A good home,
a good another,
a good home that needs a mirror.
Another
you know, they
good
just need to
home.
Be able to reflect on their life with this mirror.
Please. Oh man! All right, so we all have chores to do. Is essentially what it sounds like. So my regret of the week is I was in my old, you know, hometown neighborhood, northeastern Queens, and I was going to my family wanted to pick up dinner from a restaurant that we would frequent. Ever since I was like a kid, and we called it in. And my sister and I were going to pick it up, and it was they were like a half hour, no problem. We got there right at a half hour, and I went in to go pick up the food, and they weren't ready for another half hour.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like sitting in this chair, like in the restaurant. Also, like it was. When I've been to that restaurant, they don't usually like clap for birthdays and scream for things. It happened 3 times. And there's this waitress that has a very deep voice, and she was like, another birthday. And it was like a lot of screaming, and I was like, gonna lose my mind.
Ugh.
And my regret is that I think I was dressed, I had no makeup on, I was like dressed in sweats. I felt like I looked 19.
Yeah.
And I wasn't assertive. Do you know what I mean? I felt like I should have been a little more assertive of like,
give me my food. You said 30
minutes.
Yeah,
like, and they were like really struggling with it. They were like, because we separated. My sister was going to her apartment and we were going to where she's going to move into. And then my parents' house, and like they couldn't figure out the separation. It was like a very big stressful time.
Like they couldn't figure out that some boxes go in one bag.
They were very stressed about the separating of the food.
It's just putting some boxes in one bag and some boxes in another.
It was a busy time. It was a Sunday night. I mean, it's a good deal.
Right.
I'm not trying to hate. I'm just saying, like, my regret is I felt like I made myself feel tinier. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, I felt like I was like, okay. And then I, like, sat in a corner and, like, I looked 19 and it was like, they're like, all right, this 19-year-old, you know, that's what I felt. Like, I looked, I felt like I looked 19 and then I wasn't, like, acting like a 30-year-old woman. Not that I needed to, like, punch somebody out.
No,
I mean,
they
were doing their job. It wasn't, but just to be a little more assertive of, hey,
remember that food I came for?
Yeah, or like, if you didn't think you were going to be ready, you should have given us a longer time.
Right.
Like, said it's probably going to be closer to 45 minutes.
It really,
or something.
I was
apologize.
There?
That's the other problem.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I know like restaurants are busy. It's a lot. It was really crowded. There was 18,000 birthdays and an anniversary.
I mean, crazy.
They were, you know.
What song do they do?
They were all singing Happy Birthday and then taking their.
Not the real Happy Birthday, though.
A real Happy Birthday.
Illegal.
Yeah.
Illegal.
They're taking risks at that place.
They should be.
You can report them for that.
Copyright.
You should. Just call up.
Listen, I'd be like, I have no problem with the food waiting.
Yes.
But the birthday song, you do not have the rights to,
no.
sir.
Copyright.
No.
Copyright. And then
it's copyright.
I also was like, who wants to eat here? Sorry. But it was like, I was sitting there for a half hour. And again, it happened three times.
Yeah.
What type of restaurant was it?
Hmm?
What type of restaurant?
Italian. It was an Italian restaurant.
That's so weird at a little restaurant like that to be singing a birthday song. Because like you
it was
think
very
like
little. It was very little.
Fridays,
little.
Applebee's,
yes,
Bennigan's.
Those
little. Are the type of places that do that.
Yeah.
Not like little mom and pop Italian place.
It was like cute at first. It was like, look at this fun waitress. And then I was like, I'm going to shoot myself. But, and you know, God bless and everyone enjoy their anniversaries and their birthdays.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. But yeah, I feel like sometimes I make myself feel smaller as a woman. And how I make myself look sometimes. Like people think I'm 16, so then sometimes I feel like I operate accordingly. You know what I mean?
No one can tell age. Remember that.
Right. Yeah,
it's truly like it's that thing where you just project your own age on other people, or you're like scan older, scan younger. Like but nobody knows anybody's age, so. Yeah, and also, I mean, whenever, I'm like, the customer's always right. That's my motto.
But I've always felt like a weird power situation in restaurants. Like, they're the ones in charge. Like I've sent food back once.
Oh, scary.
You know, like, I did it once because I literally could not eat the food. But there's been times where I haven't gotten my right order, and I'm just like, it's fine, I'll eat it. Like, I feel weird sending it back. Like, I'm like, I don't want to be that person.
It's also, I don't want I'm like, nervous they're going to spit in it.
Yeah. I don't want them to spit in it. I don't want to be a hassle because, I've never worked in the service industry, but I've seen the people who are just like,
so rude
and so angry. And I don't even want to politely send something
back
because I feel bad about it.
I know.
I don't know. I'm like, I specifically said something and then you didn't do it. And I don't know why I feel bad.
Oh, no. I don't know why I feel bad.
No. That's a good way to think.
I'm just like,
I don't think that's a bad way to think. As long as you're kind to it.
Yeah, like food allergies are things.
Yes.
Like I said no blame. And my thing is always like, I don't blame the waiter. Like, I don't care. But I do care. Like, I had brunch on Sunday with some friends and they had ordered, like, it was like a real big mix up. Like, they ordered French toast and pancakes came.
Yeah.
And they were like, I think we... Or I'm sure they said it, but we ordered French toast, and the guy was like, "No, you said multigrain. Multigrain is pancakes." And they were like, "No, we said French toast." And he was like, "Oh, okay,
so it was rude.
Is this not?" And I was like, "Yeah, dude, take it.
Yeah.
And also say you're sorry. No one's gonna have a problem. But don't tell me that they like."
French toast and
there.
Pancakes do not sound the same.
No, and she read it off the menu. I was there. We all heard it. We were all like, "This is a huge mistake. No issue."
Right.
But issue as soon as it's like, it's your fault, you didn't say it. Oh, okay, like, this such a big production.
I don't think that's right either.
No, now I'm eating, you know, by myself, essentially.
Exactly.
Like, and it's like...
Is it, now mine's going to be cold.
I'm like, okay. And it's just like, it would be so not a big deal.
No, because service industry jobs are very hard. It's just like, it'll be nice.
Yeah.
And then it's also like, we'll be nice too. I think it's an ingrained
thing.
Like,
I couldn't do that job.
No.
I would be so angry all the time.
People are horrible.
Hostess.
Yeah.
People are horrible.
I was a hostess with the mostest. You know what? Everybody is tense. Like, it's all tense. Like, waiters got mad
they're like,
at me, too.
We want the seat. We want that seat.
Yeah.
You know, we
and
want
that.
And
then a waiter would be like, why would you put a two-person in my booth? And I'm like, listen, they wanted a booth, and they pointed to your booth.
Like, yeah, like,
I don't
that's
know
it.
What, the customer's always right. So everyone gets mad at you all the time. Everyone's angry. Everyone's on their feet. Let's remember that.
That's why
if you're
never,
on your feet,
oh.
The heat... From the feet.
And then you get the service meal, and it's the same meal. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like you get to pick from the menu.
I've never had any.
We only got free biscuits, which I thought was a real blow.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, because then, by the way.
So what are you bringing, a peanut butter and jelly and getting a biscuit? What is this?
Yeah, it was like, I was 16. I was like, I worked with my brother. We both worked there. And I was like, I guess I'm eating biscuits like at every meal, which
That's too many biscuits.
You could only do at 16.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was also like, but also, what happened?
Also at 16, like, not the fuel for the growing body.
No,
you know?
But I was like, I'm not going to spend my money.
Egg with that biscuit.
Yeah.
You know, like
one egg? Like, what is that, 15 cents?
It was rough.
Yeah.
Come on. Come on, Virginia. Amp it up.
Come on, VA. What you up to?
Amp it up.
Amp it up. I blame the chain, not the state.
Yeah.
That's me.
The chain. Not the full, well, the full state. I mean, you know.
Well, the full state will put a little something on. I mean, tack a few points. Virginia's for lovers. Never forget that.
It is. It's a beautiful state.
Thank you.
It's lovely.
Love it.
I will say Virginia's one where you get really everything. You go up, you get something. You go down, it's very different.
It's beautiful.
It's very different.
Yeah. You really could get, you know, it's not a flat plane across. You
know, it's not Pennsylvania.
No.
Oh, God, have you ever driven across Pennsylvania? Don't do it.
It's very
it's terrible.
It's very like same.
It's very
right.
Same,
I don't know. Yeah. I've driven through to Virginia through Pennsylvania.
I've driven straight across that whole state. Don't do it.
Yeah, we went there. We did that.
The Mennonites and the Amish. Yeah.
Good times.
Rock on.
Rock on, baby.
Rock on.
If you're Amish and you're listening to this, that you can't.
Yeah.
Happy rock on, baby.
My dad was telling me actually because of the increase in business with the Amish, they've actually had to adapt to using cell phones because they cannot do business because a lot of them do furniture sales or have farm stands and stuff like that.
You know
what?
Times are changing.
So they have to have cell phones.
I personally think it is okay.
I'm not offended. I know, personally, I get it.
If you can sell a quilt, sell the quilt.
Yeah. Because like, how else are they supposed to get in touch with suppliers? Like pigeons? Like,
I know.
I don't know how the Amish used to communicate.
I think it was like a lot of face-to-face.
A letter?
Yeah.
Oh,
a lot of face-to-face.
Yeah, do they believe in mail services?
These are great questions.
If anyone knows, you know, call us out. I'm not saying we're being the most.
Tweet at us.
Are you formerly Amish?
Yes.
Let us know.
Let us know.
No, interesting.
Wow, what a good sesh.
What a warm up.
What a regret of the week.
I feel great.
So Chelsea, you're here. Yeah. You're here to bring down the house, though. I mean,
yeah, girl.
We did our regret of the week, so we're off the hook.
So. I had to think for a few when I was trying to come up with what I wanted to discuss and what my regret was. Because it's not like I'm one of those people who doesn't believe in regrets because I think that's nonsense. Like everyone has something in their life at some point that they would have changed, even if it's not something they look back like really angry about themselves at. So I had to think about it. So mine is sad.
Yeah.
So a little over a year ago, my grandma passed away. And she was the last remaining grandparent that I had. Both my grandfathers died before I was born, and my other grandmother died when I was 19 years old. And my grandmother, who died a year ago, died from Alzheimer's-related health complications.
Yeah.
And my regret is not seeing her during her last few years of life.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen my grandma... I don't even know. It had been maybe 4 or 5 years before she passed away. And that makes me sad because that's not – it's hard because I go back and forth with it. Like, I definitely regret not seeing her. But, like, my grandma, who I knew had been gone for quite some time.
Yes.
The last time I had seen her was not long before she had been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. So she was still completely there. Like, she was still, you know – watching her shows during the day, which means taking a nap with her boyfriend Joe. They'd be like, we want to watch Days of Our Lives. I'm like, you're gonna take a nap and then I have to sit here because Joe doesn't have cable, so I can't turn on anything else, so I'm watching Days of Our Lives today. And then we'd walk the mall and they would split down. I loved them. My grandma had a boyfriend she was with for my whole life, so he's basically my grandfather. And then like it started, it's hard to explain why I didn't go out there, and I don't know why I didn't. My grandma lived in Kentucky, so she wasn't nearby. It wasn't like an easy trip to make.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And even flying out there was a bit of a hassle because there was no direct flights to Louisville. It's a lot to think about because we still talked on the phone, and it started, and I would hear it getting worse. Like, I could hear her forgetting me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it started small from her forgetting dates and forgetting people's names. Like, she one of the first things to go was names. Like, she did not know my name. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell that she was trying to find it, but she would just call me baby girl. She's like, how's my baby girl? Like, how are you doing, baby girl? So it's like, for a while there, she knew who I was. Mm-hmm. To an extent.
Yeah.
And then, like, phone calls with her started getting more and more difficult because, like, it got to a point where I really had no idea what she was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, she would try me. She's like, you know, I went to that place with the thing, and you know what I mean. And I didn't know what she meant. And this is the first person I had ever dealt with who had Alzheimer's, and it was my own grandmother. And, like, for anyone who's never had to deal with Alzheimer's, it's the most horrific thing.
It's horrible.
Yeah. I honestly personally think it's worse than, like, dying of cancer.
It's true.
Because you lose completely who you are as a person. Like, it's not just your body's failing. It's like you're gone. Like, by the end, she was not there. She sat there. She, you know, my mom saw her, obviously, in the last couple, like, every few months in the last year or so. And she didn't recognize my mom. She didn't recognize my aunt. She would just sit there. She'd get angry for no reason.
Yeah, because
she just
didn't
know what was going on. She was so weird about her purse, which is, like, we always found a little funny because my grandma had always been weird about her purse. Like, she always had to have her purse on her. And even at the end, like, she would not let anybody touch her purse. And it's like, what's in your, grandma, what's in your purse?
Yeah.
Like, you have Alzheimer's. You're living in a facility. What you keeping in that purse that you don't want other people to think? And it's just like you, like, because they don't know anything about Alzheimer's. So it's like, where did my grandma go?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, what became, because she was such a strong woman. Like, she, you know, she worked and she was a smart businesswoman and she had a job. And, you know, my grandfather passed away when my mom was in her early 20s. And, like, so she was always there for us. And she was so great to the grandkids. And, like, I used to spend weeks with her during the summer. And, you know, I was lucky that I got to spend a lot more time with her than my little brother did because he was 10 years younger. So just because of how it worked out, he didn't spend summers with her the way I did. And she was just such an amazing, funny, silly woman. And just to know that that had disappeared was just something, like, I really struggled with. And, like, I don't know if I didn't go and see her because I was making excuses, like, I don't have the time, I don't have the money, or I think part of it's I did not want to see her that way.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. It's, there's something, my grandfather died of the same thing, and he worked till he was, like, 80. And by the time he died, he was 94 pounds. And we would buy him pajamas. You know, you at that point, you're, like, only gift we could get him to buy him pajamas. And my thought at the time when I was in my 20s was, like, oh, we're buying him his prison outfit is like how I felt about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. They by the end, they start to, it's like they're talking gibberish.
Right.
But they're so frustrated. Like,
she would get so and frustrated.
Cry, yeah. And just cry hysterically. I personally was like, he's trapped in there.
Right.
And he knows what he wants to say, but he's talking about trains.
Right.
Like, I will say, because how old were you?
It was last year. She was sick. It was 3 days before my 30th birthday that she passed away.
It is a very horrible. I think the older you get, the more consciousness you have about life and dying and one of the people you see die. And it is truly, I think, one of the worst things to ever watch because they deplete and you have to what you're reconciling is that you watched someone that was such a strong figure in your life essentially become a child.
Right. Because, like, during the last year or so, she basically just stopped talking. Like, she just wouldn't speak to anyone.
Right.
She probably didn't, like, I had 3 grandparents that had Alzheimer's, and it was all different, I'll say that. I would actually think speaking on the phone would be the most difficult.
Yeah, they can't
see
you.
Like, when you said that you were speaking on the phone with her, I'm like, oh, my God, there's no way I could have done that with any of my grandparents because, like, in person, you can sort of just, I was always like, hey, it's Jesse. Like, I always just, you know, so that there was no guessing or anything like that. And then after a little bit, we went buddy system. So worst comes to worst, like, you would be talking sort of like
around or
around. Yeah, so they're like in the conversation, but not like, you're maybe not contributing if they can't.
Right, because when you went by yourself, it was like, this is so hard, you know?
one time with my, this is a funny story. This is like, I look back and it's sad, but it's funny. We went to see my dad's father, who was, I believe he was in a home, or he was in a somewhere. And it was around the holidays. And so, and my sister's really good at playing piano, and they always, my grandparents loved to sing. Mm-hmm. So we went downstairs, like in whatever community room, and we're playing the piano and we're singing. And like my mom's next to me, my dad, my sister, my grandpa looks at me and he points to my mom and he goes, "Who's this guy?" And I was like, "Oh my God, what do I even do?" So I was like, "It's fine, he'll drop it." He was like, "Who's this guy?" Like, finally, my dad's like, "That's my wife, yeah. Ronnie, you know her." Like, but he's just like, "Who's this guy?" That's like, so singing with us. It was so funny, though.
Oh, I mean, there has to be those moments in that, you know? You have to
right,
be able
because
to
it's
yes.
so absurd. It's what absurd. Happens. It is. It's so absurd.
I think. Because, you know, that the regret of do I see somebody who isn't themselves
right,
before
right,
they pass
there.
Away, I think is, we've heard, you know, yeah. and I've had the similar, I didn't see one of my other grandfather, who was dying of lung cancer, I was in college, my mom said, you don't want to see them that way, and he doesn't want you to see them that way.
Right.
Whether or not I should come home.
Which is what my mom said to me.
Exactly.
She did not want me to see my grandmother that way.
Right. But the older you get, you go, oh, God, I wasn't there.
Right, because I'm not 12,
right?
You know,
yeah.
and so like, but like, also, I did not go.
Yeah.
So it's like I'm not 12, so I don't need my mother to protect me
right.
from seeing my grandmother in that situation.
Yes.
But also, I'm not 12 in that I could have rented a car or
yeah.
I could have flown
yeah.
to Kentucky, even if it was hard or even if she didn't
right.
know who I was. But like, it just like. It got to the point because, like, it was probably maybe almost 2 years before she died that we stopped even talking to her on the phone because,
yeah.
like, she
yeah.
just had no idea
she
what was going
her.
On.
She was a shell of herself.
You could just hear her struggling because she knew what she wanted to say.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
she knew what she wanted to say. And then after a while, because we don't know about Alzheimer's, we don't know if she stopped knowing what she wanted to say
yeah.
or truly just had nothing to say because
yeah.
we don't know what's going
what's
on
happening.
In their brain.
No.
We don't know if they're still completely there, but something has just shut off where
yes.
they can no longer
Which,
communicate
right.
it.
That's always what made me. That's the thing that I struggle.
The trap.
I mean, my dad when he was seeing this happen to his father, he was like, "If this happens to me, you've
my mom
oh, yeah.
says that all.
Put, I mean,
the
we
time.
Don't. I mean,
no.
Not that. I mean, that's the question of what's humane, what's not. But it's like. I don't. My grandfather, if he had the ability to mm-hmm. have said let me go, he would have said let me go.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, there's no fucking
who
way.
Who wouldn't?
Right.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
Who wants what?
Who wants to live that
no,
life?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
It like was, you're not a person
no.
anymore. You're basically a body.
Yes.
Because you've lost everything that made you who you are as a human being.
Right.
And to think about that happening to yourself, like my mom asked tons of questions to the doctor and we were very thankful to find out the type that she had is not hereditary.
Right,
so I'm like,
yeah.
whew, one less
yeah.
thing to worry about health issues from
right.
my family because there's plenty of others I have
yeah.
to worry about. But, you know, if that were to happen to me, like, kill me.
Yeah.
No, just I do not want to
yeah.
lose who I am as a person and be a shell. And to think of like someone you loved and knew and grew up with, like being that way is just so incredibly difficult. And
it's horrible to watch. It was horrible. It's horrible. I don't know how to keep repeating. It's like,
no,
it is.
It is. I don't think there's a better way to say it because.
Yeah, like, I think we're all just like we all
it
went
is.
Back into the vault.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
The vault of our own grandparents.
It's interesting because we've all, you know, it's not super common, but it's not uncommon. But the fact that we've all been through this is, you know, it's hard because what do you do? You know, like what do you say and how do you treat this person? And you know, my mom had to sit with my grandma,
yes.
and my grandma had no idea who my mother was.
Yeah.
And like ugh. As hard as it was for me, like also having to watch my mother go through this.
Yes.
I think that was
a lot of the thing.
Yeah.
It was like, I got to go with my mom because I don't want her to go alone.
Right.
It's so hard alone.
Yeah. She tried to always schedule it when her sister was out there too.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah
so
yeah.
like, you know, my
they
aunt would
go.
Be
the
there.
Siblings. This is what I always go, shout out to only children because none of us in this room are only children.
No.
And you got to tag team that shit.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
I mean, my father, my grandparents lived 10 minutes away from
right.
me. So my father was actually there so much
right.
in a way that it was, I was 19. I don't think I could comprehend.
Yeah.
The, like, oh, he's watching his father deplete. Like, right. I don't think I could comprehend.
No.
My brain wasn't fully formed. I don't think I could actually comprehend. Right. That feeling of what is it to lose a parent? What is it to watch your father, who was my grandfather was a very loving Jewish patriarch, he was a bear. He was the nicest guy ever. And that was one thing actually I will say about watching him go through this is some people get mean.
Right.
Yes. And my grandfather, even though he didn't know, was still the nicest. He would tell his aide, who was wonderful. We were very lucky to have an aide, and he would tell the aide, I love you so much.
I know.
Yeah. You're beautiful. I love you.
Didn't That's know, lovely.
Till the day he died.
Yeah, no, my grandma got mean.
Yeah.
My grandma got she was like, it was almost funny because it was like she was just, oh, so good to see you. How are you? Like, one time we were talking about butterflies. I remember she was like, I love butterflies. Ugh. And we were like, you know what? Me too. Like, she just became so sweet.
Ugh.
Their essence. And my grandpa, I think, both of them did as well, but I feel like there was a lot of embarrassment.
Oh, with me, either
way, but there was so much embarrassment for them.
Of course,
that they were. It felt like they were disappointed in themselves,
especially before they're fully gone.
When they had to give the keys back, or
my grandma was such an independent. She had her own one bedroom apartment. You know, she had drove everywhere because she drove Joe, her boyfriend, everywhere. They didn't live together because he was Catholic and she could not live with a Catholic. though they were keeping company.
old school.
Well, she was Church of Christ and he was Catholic, she would never marry him.
Oh my.
But they were together for longer than I was alive. So it was very straight. It was, I never
fully
And I don't
even know what Church of Christ is. So God bless.
So just real quick, it's the church my mother was raised in. Church of Christ is basically what you imagine the worst of Southern Christian churches of fundamentalist Christians. My mom was not allowed to go to prom because dancing was wrong. Every other religion is going to hell. Like if you are not Church of Christ, you're going to hell. Wow. You are wrong. So
it's like almost like Westboro type of shit, right?
Yeah, a little bit. But like, didn't protest. Not picketing people's funerals. It's just real fundamentalist. And, you know, my grandma loved us to death. But, also, did my grandma think I was going to hell? Question I'll always wonder. I didn't go to any church.
Yes.
So that was interesting.
Well, that's sort of like they pushed it a little hard and your mom went way to the other side and she was like, no more, thank you.
Oh, yeah, my mom married a Catholic man. So,
It could have been, she could have went further out of the...
She really could have.
Even though I do think like that's a very big difference.
It is a big difference.
To us, in my Jew brain, it's like, you're all the same!
It's all the same.
Which is wrong.
Within it, definitely not.
And I've definitely offended people.
Yeah, so when my aunt, because my aunt was the executor of everything, had to take away her car and take away her, like move her into a facility.
Yeah.
Even, we probably... She had her car longer than she should have.
Yeah, and that's a hard one.
Same with my
grandma. Was really hard because they did not want it. Well, she got very, very, very lost one day.
Yeah.
And the losing thing. She knew, and we weren't there.
Of course.
That's the thing. No one was there. So luckily.
The losing thing is. They get lost. I mean, there's a town.
She was very lost, and she knew Louisville like the back of her head. She lived there for the majority of her life. She was born in Mississippi, but she lived in Louisville for most of her life. And we were lucky, in that Joe had a granddaughter who was very helpful. So she got my grandma, and collected her. And we were like, can you take her keys away?
Yeah. It's the key. I have a vivid memory, and I'm like, was this the keys? Was this... of my grandfather in my house and hearing my parents talk about either he couldn't sign a check or they had to take his keys away. I'm not if I'm mixing the two memories.
Right.
And seeing and feeling that. And it's crazy. It's one of those, the losing thing, them getting lost or the, people with Alzheimer's. There's a, I don't know if you saw this like viral video going around of like a town in, I'm going to fuck this up, Sweden or somewhere, Finland, somewhere, where they made a nursing home look like an actual town.
Yes, it's so cool.
So, like, they have houses or they have, like, rooms, and then they made the nursing home look like
it was like an old mall or something.
Yeah, they made it, like, so that that if they get lost, they're really in the nursing home, but they can go walk and they can go
and
out.
And, like, the facades and of the apartments actually look like tiny little houses.
They made it look.
It's amazing.
Look at it, I was like, it warmed my heart.
Right.
Because they were trying to give them the independence without
them
knowing that they weren't really, you know what I'm saying?
Because when you put them in a facility, it's just, I mean, by the time my grandma went in, you know, she was pretty gone.
Yeah.
You know, because we had first had some in-home care, and then it got to the point where the nurse was like, I can't
handle it.
I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
She was upset. And, well, one of the saddest things is through the end, she didn't remember my aunt and my mom, and she didn't remember. But even when she went in the facility, she'd ask about Joe.
Oh.
And Joe had already passed away. And I don't... Oh, no. Joe passed away. Yeah.
That makes me really sad.
Yeah, Joe passed away. It'll be... Grandma was a year ago this October. Joe will be 2 years in December.
Yes,
but she was like fully gone pretty much when Joe passed away. So I don't think she ever fully understood that Joe had died.
Oh,
and Joe knew because Joe was 95, 96. That man was very, very healthy until he wasn't.
Yes.
And then he passed away in his sleep at home. You know,
what a dream.
What a dream. That's
truly
a dream.
What a freaking dream.
It was great.
What a life and what a dream.
I mean, he was...
I mean, maybe be Catholic. You know what I'm saying?
He had health issues, but he was 96.
I
want
to die in my sleep. Yeah. Oh. All I want. I want to go to bed.
Who doesn't?
Truly. I mean, when do we start doing birthday wishes for dying in your sleep? I mean,
really. Like, I want to be old, but not, like, too old.
Yeah.
You know, like, being, like, 115 sounds terrible. Like, what am I doing with my life at 115?
No. Unless you're one of those people who, like... Yeah, you ever see those videos where, like, I'm 112 and I'm running a fucking...
That's insane. You know what I mean? I love the ones that are like, it's like one or the other. It's either, I haven't had sex since 1930 and I'm 110. Or, I smoke a pack a day and I drink a bottle of whiskey, I'm 120. I'm like, so which life do I lead?
No, it's a lot of it's genetics.
Or just...
And luck.
Luck.
Yeah. Genetics and luck. But
part of me feels like, you know, I want to talk about death extensively with like my children and my husband. I want to be like, listen to me.
Yeah.
This is what I think that's what everybody should do. Like, so there's no questions towards the end.
Right.
It's like, this is what I want. This is what I don't want.
Yes.
When it gets to this point, I don't want you to feel like you have to do this or that. Like,
don't keep me around because you think I'd want you to keep me around. Like, if I'm not there, get rid of me.
Get rid of me. Because it is draining of money.
And on the people and on people everybody. Around.
I mean, it's
everybody
just,
involved.
It's so
I think what happens is if that conversation doesn't happen, because this just happened in my family, if the conversation doesn't happen, you have a split second.
And everyone questions everything.
Exactly.
Forever.
And so, and because a lot of times, or there's a fear thing of like the plans aren't made. I literally went home this weekend and my parents went over the will.
Yeah.
I love that.
And went over, I went in every safe. And I was like, what a trip.
What a visit. I mean, it's good.
They were like, you need to look at it because your sister will lose it. And I'm like, great, being the younger sister and doing the job. But I literally sat there and I actually said this to my boyfriend recently, who's only 31. But I was like, someone needs to be on your account. I mean, we're not married yet, but I was like, someone needs, because God forbid something happens to him. We have to be able to get into, we have to know his
documents. He needs to put
a
backup.
My father is on my accounts. My father knows my information.
Right.
Like, I'm just saying it's, unfortunately, I've also had seen friends of my age die. And if you don't, it's like people start doing it once they have children.
Right.
But at the same time, we started to have those conversations of like, someone needs to know your information. God forbid something happens. You know, someone needs to know where your stuff is.
Someone needs to clear out your browsing history.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
But like, someone needs to be able to understand whatever's going to come back. I mean, does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah,
I don't get it.
Meaning like...
like his financials.
His financials.
You know, like, since he's technically a single person, like, where's his money going to go? Like, how is, like, Tracy, for instance, going to be able to get into his accounts? Or, you know, his brother or his sister is going to have to go through, like, a huge process to verify that he has passed away, that they are his sibling,
no
in order to get...
We have no information.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody... I mean,
it's not about it's not about money. It's about
money. It's just about when, taking care of everything.
Right. When I've had situations when people have died and that wasn't taken care of, and you end up sitting through documents and documents and documents. I don't know. Like he has, it's like if he has stocks or he has outlying debts or he has whatever.
Right.
I don't
shutting
know
down
what,
credit cards. Yeah, shutting down websites. Getting rid of
a death
Facebook,
certificate.
You know, like this, anything.
It's every little aspect that just will make. It's just. It's like what you were saying. It's just when. Because these things will pop up, and it's just for the family to have it easier. So when someone dies, they're ready, you know, because it's not like he's a 20-year-old kid in college.
No.
He has assets.
He has things, yeah.
He has, he just has access to stuff. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not that anyone's trying to money grab. That's not what it's about. It's just that I've been in situations where it wasn't prepared, and then you're
and
sitting there.
And making sure everything taken care of.
And instead of mourning the death of somebody, you're running around, and you're searching through every document. To find one little piece of thing or going, okay, well, is this going to come back to somebody or is he, because you have to end up doing taxes for the dead and stuff like that. Like,
because you have to pay taxes on the dead.
You're right.
Which is insane.
Like, or like, you've heard stories of like people coming back, there was an outstanding payment and then their family gets saddled with
right.
it. It's just something of that type of nature that.
Right.
There needs to be an awareness. It's not about, I mean, what money grabbing are we grabbing here?
No, I have no money.
No money. No money, but.
The only thing I've ever thought about if I pass away anytime soon is I have a joke with a few of my friends is that I don't want to be buried because I think it's gross.
Yeah.
I want my body to be dropped into a volcano because I think that is a epic way to go.
Yes, it is,
like,
it
just
is.
Like, I don't want to be buried in the ground. Like, don't scatter me to sea. Like, just drop my body in an active volcano and then have a huge party because all the volcanoes are in beautiful locations.
Yes.
So everyone gets a vacation out of my death.
I think that's great.
I think it is too. But I'm afraid of helicopters, so you can't bring my body up there
no.
in a helicopter.
Well,
so
you won't know.
No, that's what they
fair.
Said, but I will haunt them if they do it.
Yeah.
Well, how are they going to get you in the volcano? Yeah.
That is their problem to bear.
And that's why you have to know your assets and your...
Yes.
Maybe when you're really old, they'll just bring you to a volcano and then tip you in.
That's right. What I'm thinking. Like, or just have like really hot, muscly men carry me up in one of those things. Like, you know,
what
like
a dream
the Cleopatra.
For them.
That's it.
And then you want us to just slide her in?
Just
okay,
slide. You know, if they're getting paid right, I'm sure they'd be willing to
it. There's something about even like thinking about in death, you don't know anything, but feeling claustrophobic about the fact that you'll be buried.
Mm.
That's it. But my mother, you know, all of a sudden she's very worried about, you know, Jewish religion. And she's like, you have to be buried. Your soul won't make it. And I'm like, we're eating ham. What's going on? Like, you know what I mean?
Death is so uncertain and unknown. And so whenever there's that, there's a lot of worry and there's a lot of, I think Americans especially, it's like if you think about it, you're giving up or you're being negative or you're like blah, blah, blah. When it's like, I don't know. I just think...
Well, there's all this thing about, like, fight. And it's like, sometimes people just are like,
man,
I don't want to fight.
If you don't want to fight, dude, like, don't fight.
Like,
let's go to Hawaii for a month and just have a good month.
Yeah. Right, when you see those stories of people who are just, like, they knew they were dying and they just lived their life to the fullest for those last few months, like, that's what I'd want to do.
I know.
Like, if I know for sure I'm not going to make it, like, the pain and suffering sometimes you put yourself through in order to try to fight. And it's like... Who are you fighting for?
Right.
That's
like, I feel
thing.
Like it is a moment where you are allowed to be a little selfish because
you
it's
absolutely
your,
should.
It's your death.
No one else is going through any of the things. I think there's like a pressure of I don't want to let other people down.
Right.
Or when it's like, no, like this is your life.
Right. And if it's something you can have any modicum of control over.
Yeah.
I think it's so important to you as a person to have that control and embrace it because, like, death is scary and it's something where you can lose a lot of your dignity and who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And if you can keep it's that for as long as possible and make those choices, especially if you know that even if you fight, maybe you'll get to live another couple months, but, like,
totally.
At what cost?
Well, how long are you in the hospital during that
exactly.
fight?
Exactly.
Like, do I get the same amount of time?
Right. So, do I fight?
Right.
And make myself incredibly sick going through chemo or treatments and everything so I can just kind of be around?
Right.
Or do I take 3 months to
live.
Go to Hawaii and live
think,
or visit every family member
totally.
Or, you know?
I think it becomes a little trickier. I think it's when people have children. That's when, like, I think we're, I mean, like, if I, as a single person without children, you know, my parents would, I don't think they would ever I think they lose their mind. But I'm just saying, like, watching somebody pass away who has children or about to have grandchildren, and that they don't want to leave that.
Right.
To admit to themselves, okay, it's the time is sort of done. Again, we're talking, this is different for everybody.
I mean, have you ever seen Dying in Oregon?
No.
It's a documentary. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know who you're talking about.
Is that assisted suicide? Oh,
that's yes, the woman. It is. It's Brittany, what was her name? Brittany, wasn't it Brittany?
It's about three people.
Oh, they moved. This girl, Brittany, from California, moved to Oregon. That's what I thought it was about.
Oh, no. It's a documentary about three different individuals that are going through the process of assisted suicide. Mm-hmm. And that documentary really changed my life and the way I looked at death. And all of the people, as soon as they knew they had the control, like, mm-hmm. they had the pills, they knew the process, like, they were there and you didn't have to use it or you could, they all got healthier and felt better and lived longer, because it was like, they all said, like, there's no control, like, I feel like I'm waiting and there's nothing I can do, and this is a thing that if I get scared that it's going to be painful or scary, right. I can just exit.
And you know what? That's what I believe in all that.
I do, too.
God, for somebody, I know. It's unbelievable. And this is all religion-based, you know. Okay. But it's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
We could all get heated.
I'm heated.
I mean, to not allow
adults. I'm almost crying, but I'm heated.
Or somebody, or like, even like parents for, I don't know, that's harder. But like, to not allow people of the right sound in mind to make that decision when they're in their sound.
Like,
you know,
put them through psychological testing. Right. Make them talk to a bunch of people. Talk to them for hours.
They make you, to get the medication, you have to go through steps.
You have to, and that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah, but
that's what love is. Right. Love is saying, I love you so much.
Of course.
I want you to feel wonderful and to live the way you want to live.
Why does anybody have the right to tell someone they cannot do that?
I do not know.
It's the same reason why they can't tell us to have a fucking abortion.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same shit.
It's insane.
It's a bunch of these people.
It's insane.
Like, first of all, it's just religion. Like, your body, your religion-based or whatever crap.
Yeah.
It's like, get out of me.
And by the way, the whole death and funeral industry is a fucking industry.
Do you know how much money?
Yes.
It's insane.
Of course, they are riding on thousands of dollars.
People's emotions.
Thousands.
And guilt. And it's
horrific. The amount of money. And that's why it's like, you look and you go, oh, well, cremation is cheaper, but this. And like, it costs like
thousands. But it's still
thousands.
It's like,
insane.
I saw clips from that show, Adam Ruins Everything. And he did one on the funeral industry.
Yeah.
And like, the one clip I saw was also talk about the embalming process is not necessary.
Yeah, Jews don't embalm.
It's, first of all, it's disgusting.
So it's crazy.
Yeah, no, and it's not necessary. Because also, then the body takes so long to decay. So you just have this body sitting there underground. Why? Why are we doing that?
Why, for
And
who?
They're like...
To present it, I guess?
Yes,
the wake?
That's what they said. Yeah. So it's basic presentation to make them...
But let me
tell
you.
It's kind to the body. The embalming process is not kind to the body. They sew your jaw shut. They stuff you full of cotton.
Blah.
They drain all your organs.
Yeah.
It's what they put the body through is disgusting and horrific. And to say that it's just so the body looks better, close to it, because
they fill
you with formaldehyde.
Yeah,
I don't like that.
No, I don't either.
And
that's why I'm going in a volcano.
If you've been to a wake, if you've seen an open casket,
they're terrifying.
They don't look the same.
No. My grandma.
Nobody's looking the same. I mean, they're not walking down the runway here. I mean,
also, I just don't know. And once again, Jew. Just don't know what we're doing. Because to me, to see a body that's just dead and you're going, yeah, that was her.
Is there
all
a
right,
background
I'll sit down
to that?
Now.
I know you're around.
Why?
I know, not to put you on a pedestal, non-Jew.
No.
But
also,
I don't know,
like,
what
it's not like
background.
I'm like a Christian or a
you're
Catholic.
Not.
I wasn't raised
you're
anything.
Not.
So I don't know, like, full history.
Why? Yeah, why
I mean,
is that?
I don't know. I don't understand the full wake.
We gotta go.
I mean, traditional Irish wakes were fun parties. I know that about Irish wakes. Like, so traditional Irish wakes.
I think Irish just have fun all the time.
Yeah.
They're like,
Catholics. They'd literally prop up the body in the corner of the room and have a party to celebrate the life of that person.
All right, well,
which
I think that's better.
Creepy, because there's just a dead body in the corner of the room. But also, they're celebrating. So wakes used to be celebratory.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Irish are a Catholic culture, so that came. How it came to be in these
morbid,
sterile,
sad,
ugly,
know.
Flower-filled funeral homes where they're sitting in a casket in the front. And, like, the first time I ever saw a dead body was when my first grandmother passed away when I was 19 years old.
Yeah.
And I was terrified to walk in the room. My
mom... so scary.
made me, because she wanted the family to all walk in together, and like I was standing by the door and I did not want to walk in, and I was very angry at her for making me go in before I was ready, but that's a whatever.
We'll table that.
Yeah, we'll table. That'll be the second regretful.
Sorry, Mom, if you do listen to us.
She might.
But I was a little upset about that, because it was like, you know, it was really hard to see the first dead body ever, let alone my grandma, who I loved. And I remember walking up to Cassie and being like,
Who is this?
Like, sorry, I don't know if I can curse here.
Oh, no, you can absolutely.
But who the fuck is that? That is not my grandmother. Yeah. Her face looked puffy, and the amount of makeup they had on her was insane. And, like, my grandma was this tiny little petite Irish woman, and she was like 5'3", and so tiny, and, like, she passed away from cancer. So by the end, she was, like, 80 pounds.
Yeah.
And they made her look crazy.
I know. That is one thing where I have to shout out the Jews a little bit.
Shout them out. What you guys do is much better.
I mean, not that we can't cremate, because then I'm like, all right, enough. But we go boom, boom, buried, wrap them up. Don't look them. Like, don't touch them. Go. They're like, let's go.
And since like my grandma was Catholic, we had to do a full mass.
Oh, oy vey.
But that ended up being... That was funny. Mass is not funny. Mass is boring. Mass is not funny. So we went to the church that my grandma had been going to a very, very long time, except the priest that we wanted to do the service, who was her main priest, wasn't available. So the priest was an Indian man, which is interesting, because I've never seen an Indian Catholic before.
Rock on.
It was very strange. But I think he was from India, so he had a very thick accent. Yeah. So he was doing the last rites and the full mass. And my grandma's from a different time. And my dad's like, oh, my God, grandma would be so mad right now. And we were laughing, because we're like, oh, my God, this is her church. And they couldn't give her priest to do her
But the priest, they can't. I mean, listen, first of all, the race, you know, we got to get over the racism, everybody. You know, Indians can be Catholic. So
that wasn't a racist thing. It was just like, I'd never seen an Indian Catholic before. Like, I did not think
In Kentucky, maybe, you know.
This was Jersey grandma.
This was,
I don't understand. I just don't understand.
I think also, it is always funny when someone came in to do my grandma, my bubby's last. We were in a Catholic church, and they brought a Catholic priest in to do a last rites thing.
Yeah.
And my family was very frazzled, so they were maybe going to have him do it. They were like, should we just have it? And I went, no. I went, my bubby would not ever want a Catholic prayer. And I literally read, I Googled the last, I did it.
Right.
Read the Hebrew prayer.
She was in a Catholic hospital?
She was in a Catholic hospital. Yeah. They didn't have a rabbi. Yeah. So they brought, very kind guy.
Of course.
He came in, but my family, this is the thing, was so frazzled, because we didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
So frazzled.
They didn't know.
Maybe a priest? And I was like.
Because like, it's like, what do you do? Do you be like. Because you did it, but like, there's no frazzle. Bye, priest.
I literally went. I had a moment of clarity in that mess, and because you guys know about my bubby, I was like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Would she want to be going down with Jesus? Yeah. This bitch was saying Jew every other word.
This was like my grandma's church that she went to every week for mass, and to not have man that she... Yeah.
Where was he?
Don't know.
On vacation?
No one knows.
And we were all just sitting there like,
don't you guys
what
wait
happening?
A long time though? You could.
It's like a
how
week.
How does it work? It's a week.
Then he was on his week.
Listen.
Week-long vacation.
It's like a week.
Poor guy. Poor everybody.
I want to say it's usually like the wake is usually like 4 to 5 days after they pass away. Yeah. And then the funeral's the next day usually.
Oh my God.
So you do
two. That is fucking drawn. I mean, we do Shiva, but that's drawn out, man.
Well, nothing happens in the in-between.
I'm saying that's why it's drawn out.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like,
that's when they're
getting
like embalmed and stuff. And then you do the two viewings at the wake. And then the next day is... Depending on their religion and stuff like that, they have like mass or a funeral, and then the burial at the grounds.
It's very funny to me when it is like a little disappointing, because I've had my bubby didn't have her rabbi, he wasn't available, and the guy who did my unveiling at my grandmother's Jews unveil the grave like a year after, and it was somebody we didn't know. It was just a, you know, on-call rabbi. And he said something. It's hard because you're sitting there and they go, she was a loving, caring woman. And if
they don't know
my
them.
Grandmother, no. May she rest wherever she is. May she rest. God bless. Was not what we would call warm. And he was like warm and like, yeah. Like we couldn't even hold it in. You know, we were like, in what
did
world?
Not know my grandma. Like my grandma was a warm, caring person. Yeah. But like, so I can't even remember because it was so long. You know, it was 12 years ago now that my grandma passed away. But I remember, I want to say he pronounced her name wrong.
That's rough.
We get a lot of fellatio with my last name. And that's fellatio. And I remember that verse. And like, we're all just sitting there.
Fellatio, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, luckily the priest wasn't a 15-year-old yeah. boy or a 30-year-old boy. Let's be honest. I still get that. I'm pretty sure the name was pronounced wrong. Things were said, and we're just like, poor grandma. Grandma Carmel would be so upset right now.
And then that's when you just have to do your own thing. You know what I mean?
You do and you also got to think, like, grandma's floating above, and she's like, hey, guys, I don't give a fuck. I'm flying.
I can't believe I can fly now.
I can't believe it. Like, there's no way it's like I'm going to be like, oh, they did azaleas?
Yeah.
I could have sworn I said daisies. Like, who gives a fuck? It's just like, oh, great. Yeah. Everybody's there. Well, like, who cares? I always think about that. No one gives
sure. No one cares.
No, they don't.
No one.
Unless they were like, but it's a just terrible you narcissist.
Yeah. Well, and then it's always just like, you know, that's another thing where it's where the family wants to do right by them.
Of course.
You know, so
it's all
like,
panic.
It's all panic and wanting
and
to try
and misery
and give them the goodbye that you think they deserve. Yeah. Even
and
though,
and
like I said,
that's not the goodbye. That's the whole thing.
Wakes and funerals are terrible.
That's not the goodbye. The goodbye was before that when you said goodbye.
Right. And also, like, you know,
I think the goodbye happened when the goodbye happened.
That was the goodbye.
I don't understand why we don't still celebrate their life. Why?
Oh, you got it.
Why it has become so mournful and sad. Like, you know, I've been to funerals of people, like, good friends, like, like grandparents or fathers passed away.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like, it feels strange to me to, like, be sad, like I'm sad for the person who lost the person, but I'm just like, I didn't know this person, and I'm just like, why are we all standing here in black and sitting awkwardly in a room?
Thing.
It is a respect thing, but like, I think it's respectful to celebrate a person's life.
We always tell stories, and it's like
and the
very
and
fun.
Photo albums are out, and it's
right.
You can't look in a mirror if you are the one of the direct line.
Typically, it's little more like that after the funeral.
Yes.
Usually, the family has people back to the house for like
and then
food
it's
and
nice.
Drinks, and then it's a little bit more. But like the wake thing,
I mean,
still don't understand.
I think, like,
well, I can't help you there.
If you do the thing where you talk and say what you want,
I love
like
that.
my mother-in-law said what she wanted, and we had a party. We were dancing to Prince.
Oh.
I mean, she was like, I want a party. No funeral.
Yeah.
You get food. You get a sub. You da-da-da. I mean, we got drunk and maybe cried. I cried, maybe.
Of course.
But the drinking.
Maybe.
The drinking. That we were taking shots and maybe we shouldn't have been as
but
many
that
shots.
That is wonderful.
But
I think so too.
It was a wonderful, wonderful way to do that.
I always loved, like, at my grandparents' funerals when, like, their friend from college, like all these things I didn't know about them or these
people.
Right? Like I was like, this is so beautiful.
Right.
And
then that reminds you, like, oh, you know,
stay in touch. Just kidding.
Yeah, like, even like looking through all these pictures, like just cleaning up my grandmother's house, like it's like there's so many memories.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like we could have, you know, it's like that regret of like you could have talked and asked more. You
that
know?
Was the other thing I'd written down, and I know we're probably getting a long time, so it's not another one I would get into. But the other one I wrote down was not getting to know my other grandmother better before she passed away, because she was 19 when I passed away. So at 19, she's still just grandma. She's not a human
person.
Being.
I know.
She's not
brain
a human being who had a life.
Not fully formed.
No.
Absolutely not.
you don't realize that people have lives.
I found out we're so much alike, like in ways that no one could have done. And like my dad's like, God, you're like my mother, and like we just have a lot of the same personality. She was one of the first women to work in the television industry at Dumont Television. And, you know, she loved Hollywood and dreamed of being an actress and living in LA, even though she never pursued it. But, like, we found photo albums of, like, where she'd cut out pictures of celebrities she thought were attractive or that she idolized. And I'm just like, this is very strange.
I know,
because we are a lot alike in terms of, like,
Chelsea's cutting out,
stuff.
Still cutting out photos.
Oh, yeah, guys. My walls are full of posters
full
of JTT
of magazine.
And Ryder Strong. I just kept them.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay. That's from the. But it is sad. You don't realize. You don't realize they're people. But
no.
So I mean, I think like I think the note to end on is, you know.
Yeah.
We all talked a lot about death in this episode. This was a death heavy.
Yeah.
Heavy episode.
I didn't hate it.
And I don't hate it.
I don't hate it.
I think it's important to talk about it.
I do too.
Because I think it helps us all deal with it better and figure out not the right and wrong way to deal with it, but what you're comfortable with. And like, if
absolutely.
I could go back and see my grandmother in that time, I would.
Yeah.
You know, even if she didn't know I was there, you know, like maybe it's a selfish reason to go back and see her. Yeah. But like even if just some part of her that we don't realize recognized me and saw me, then that would have been enough to know that she just, you know, I saw her and she saw me one more time before she passed. So I'd go back. But
exactly.
You live and you learn.
You live and you learn.
You do. You live and you learn, and you just keep trucking along.
That's
and,
it.
Until we die.
I know. That's guys, all I'm thinking
what?
About.
We're all dying.
Yes.
Slowly decaying.
Slowly. We are slowly decaying.
Yes. Hopefully slowly.
Yeah.
But not painfully.
No.
I gotta go in my sleep. I got to. I have to.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
The images that have passed in my head these past few weeks of how to die is really crazy.
Oh,
just anxiety-wise. Every time I go into a car, I'm like, crazy I'm going to be decapitated.
There was this list
decapitated.
That I know we're ending,
about that.
In a car?
I'm not going to say it. It's too sad.
No,
I'll
but I saw this
I
list of crazy
in
ways.
An elevator, which is
That was a woman.
Oh,
no.
Every time I exit, I'm like, could
be me. It was that woman.
That was like 4 years ago.
That was 4 years ago. She was running in to catch it. Oh, God.
Oh.
Anyway.
Cut in half.
And rest in peace.
To be in that elevator.
Oh. Those people are having issues. They're probably all in homes now.
I would literally be drugged.
Yeah.
I would be, you put me in a straitjacket and send me down the road. I can't.
Never.
Oh, okay. On that note, thank you for listening to Regretsville.
Keep your heads on straight. Keep them on.
Keep them on a swivel.
Watch out.
And remember, go out there, guys, and live your life with regrets.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.